the fuss that they were making on the news about this rainstorm, I thought we were going to get some rain. We didn't get it yet. They keep promising that it's coming now, so we'll see what happens. Hey, it's good to see you today. Glad that you are here. And Brother Torres, the guest speaker who was here last Sunday, sends his greetings to you, and he has formally accepted as to be a candidate for the pastorate here. So the pulpit committee will meet right after the fellowship time, or during the fellowship time today, meet together to be able to respond to him for that. But in any case, we're on the road. We're heading down that road. And I hope that you are encouraged by that indeed. Well, the book of Hebrews, if you turn to the book of Hebrews, we're going to get there eventually. But Hebrews was written to the Jews who were converted to Christ. The book of Hebrews is to Hebrew believers. That's why it's named Hebrews. And they faced persecution from family, these that had been Jews and then converted to Christianity and became followers of Jesus. Their family, many of them, had funerals for them and buried them. Said, "You are dead people to us." They faced problems from the Roman government because the Roman government was opposed to these Christians, fanatical Christians also. And they faced predicaments as the enemy tried to dissuade them from Christ. So the Hebrew believers faced a lot of things, a lot of opposition. That's no different than it is today for believers. We face opposition. Maybe not as severe as that, but our day will come, I think, in the not too far future. But the message to God's people then was, hold fast, stand fast, be steadfast. And today it's the same for us as believers. Hold fast to that which God would have for us. So, I want to encourage you today. It sounds like the whole world is in chaos. The whole world is a mess. But for us as believers, hold fast. The Lord our God is coming. You know, there's a geyser in Yellowstone Park, I think it is, that's called Old Faithful. Old Faithful's not the biggest geyser. It doesn't shoot water the highest. And Old Faithful is not one that is the biggest geyser that is in that park. But it's the most popular. Do you know why it's popular? It's because it is faithful. You can count on it. It is the one that is going to shoot off regularly because it is faithful. And you know, God loves faithfulness. It's not brilliance that the Lord is looking for. It is faithfulness. It's not great wealth. It's not great intelligence. It's not great ability. It's dependability. Being faithful to the Lord. And the scripture today that we will be looking at is, usually I take a passage of scripture and I preach through it expositionally. That is, exposing what the scripture has to say about it. And I stay usually right within that text. This message, however, is different. This is a topical message, typically. And it means we'll bounce around to a couple different passages. I will expose them expositionally when we get to them, but it will be a topical message, which is different. You know how that if you do the same thing all the time, it gets old. And so I like to preach a topical message occasionally for variety, just so that it doesn't get boring to you. So we'll be tossing around to a couple different passages. Gosh, where'd my clicker go? Oh, here it is. Buried. There we go. All right, so we will be looking at a number of different passages. I'll have them up on the screen so that you can see them. But I encourage you to look them up in your Bible where you're holding them in your hand, and you can see them close up. I think that it's beneficial for us. Father God, we call upon you now that, Lord, you will speak to us in these sacred moments. For we are not just talking about trivial matters, but rather we are talking about the eternal Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word that you gave us. God, help us, I pray. Guide us, I pray. Lead us, I pray, that you would be magnified in these moments together in your Word, and then, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate our minds to what, God, we need to know. Oh, God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the scripture is going to talk to us about hold fast. The message to the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews was hold fast. And we see that same thing, not just in the book of Hebrews, but we are instructed in by the Apostle Paul also to hold fast, and that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The scripture here is talking to us about this. The word hold fast that we are going to be looking at here over and over again in the scripture, different places, means to cling to tenaciously. The idea, it would be like you are cast overboard in a boat and in a storm, and there's the boat breaks up, and there's a piece of the boat that you cling to. You're being tossed around by the waves and the wind, and in danger of going under. You are clinging to that piece of wood. You're holding fast to it tenaciously. That's the idea that is used. So the Bible here tells us, what are we to cling to? We are to cling to that which is good. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, 19 times this phrase occurs in the scripture, hold fast. We won't look at all of them, but we will look at some of them. So that which is good is talking about that which is beautiful and valuable and virtuous. It is that which we are to cling to. In a world that is filled with all kinds of ungodly things, it is necessary that we are holding fast to that which is good, that which is valuable, that which is virtuous. Because there is so much evil around us. Don't cling to those things. Cling to those good things. The scripture here is telling us to cling to that which is good and virtuous. The enemy tries to get us to focus on bad. And that's one of the reasons why I don't watch much of the news. My wife loves to watch the news. I just can't take it. It's just all that bad news all the time is just... It's just putrefying. And the scripture here is telling us to hold fast to that which is good. Cling to that which is good. And how are we supposed to do that? Well, the scripture gives us the key to that. He says to prove all things. That word prove all things means to test all things, to examine them. Evaluate them. So how do we evaluate things to prove that they are good? Well, our main test is by the Word of God. What does God say about it? And that settles it. We can prove all things, whether something is good or not, whether it's beautiful and valuable and virtuous, because what the scripture says about it is what really counts. We can evaluate by the Spirit of God. Now, God has given you the Holy Spirit to live within you. And the Holy Spirit abides within us to give us that guidance. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach us what is good, what is right, what is virtuous. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit within us is not some spooky thing. It is reality. It is that which we learn to trust the Word of God as it is written to us, and then as the Holy Spirit teaches us those things and leads us in those things to what is good, what is profitable, what is right. And then the will of God helps us to test all things and to examine them. Is this the will of God? Is this what God wants? So the scripture here talking to us about holding fast in our lives to that which is good. And as believers in these last days, that we are focusing on those spiritual things that are right and that are good. But another passage that uses this same phrase, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, we are to hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of these days. So what is this talking about? Well, the Bible here is talking about this word confidence is a word that we would use in modern English talking about the assurance. And in its context, it's talking about the assurance of the hope firm unto the end. That assurance that the way of Jesus Christ is the right way. That he is the Savior of the world. That assurance that he is your Savior. The assurance of that, of what God says, the end results will be. And God tells us in his word how true that is. Over in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, and that 28th verse, I'm sure you're familiar with that passage. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That is, that God is going to work it out. God is going to bring victory. He's going to be our hope unto the end. And the scripture here is saying, hold fast to the God who will lead you, who is guiding you, who will direct you. He will see you through the end. You may not understand it right now. You may not see what's going on at this point, but God is leading, and he will lead you in that right way. He will hold fast with that assurance that he will see you through, and he will give you that guidance. And the passage goes on to say, how are we to hold fast in those days? Well, it's talking about rejoicing. But as Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence, that is the assurance, and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That rejoicing that we are to have, that boasting and glorifying of the hope that is firm to the end, that we have that assurance. Jesus is coming. Heaven is a reality. The things of God are before us. He will never leave us. He will never fail us. He is that one that gives us that hope unto the end. And we hold that hope, that rejoicing and that glorying in the hope of our God, that he will see us through. You may be going through some very difficult things. You may be facing some tragedy, some difficulty, some hard times. Well, God allows hard times into our lives to bolster us. Hold fast. Remain steadfast in the Lord. I was telling Tim before the service this morning that when my mother-in-law was dying with cancer, she lived in Michigan, and my wife and our family, I pastored in Illinois. And in the course of that 2 years or so that she was in the process of dying, Diane or the whole family, we made a trip from Illinois to Michigan 17 times that the doctors said she was not going to survive. She was not going to survive much longer, and we needed to come. 17 times we made that trip, or else Diane made the trip, and I stayed home with the boys. We had little children. It was a hard time for us. We were a lot poorer in those days than we are today. It was difficult, and yet God saw us through, and the Lord was with us in every special way. Our rejoicing has to be that God will work it out. He is working in your life through the circumstances right now. Hold fast. Don't give up. Don't let go of those things, but hold fast. As the Christians were motivated in the book of Hebrews to hold fast to your profession, the same thing is true for us in these last days. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the scripture there talks about holding fast. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That is, that profession is talking about the confession of faith that you made in Christ's saving work on the cross. That is, cling to that, that you settled it with God, that He is your Savior, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will see you through this also. Scripture here is saying, hold fast to your profession, your confession of Jesus and what He did on the cross. It is that wonderful blessing. So how do we do that? How does this text tell us that we are to do that? Well, we are to focus on Jesus. Notice it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Keep looking at Jesus. Let us keep looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. When difficulties come, we have to keep our focus on Jesus. He is that one that will not fail us. He is that one that we can trust. So before the command in this passage, it tells us to focus on Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Christ, let us hold fast our profession. So it is that which we are supposed to focus on Jesus before we get the command. And then after we get the command of Jesus, we are to focus on what Jesus will do for us. Notice that 15th verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Before the command, he says, to hold fast, he says, look unto Jesus. After the command, he tells us that we are to focus on what Jesus will do for us. But keep focused on the Lord. Keep looking at him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will do it in our lives. Hold fast, the scripture says, tells us how to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, there is a parallel passage and an example for us that we are to look at. And the scripture says, let us, notice the three let us phrases that are in this passage, these two verses. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us. When you see a progression of a repetitive action in the scripture, God is trying to get our attention to hone in on that, to get it, to get the message that he has for us. So there are three things to help us to hold fast to our profession. One is, he said, let us draw near to God, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. He is telling us here that there is an act, this is an act of the heart, to draw near to God with a true heart. That is, our heart is our decision maker. It is that whereby we believe. It is that, we call it also, another thing that the scripture calls it is the will of man. It is that desire, that decision maker that makes that decision. If we are to believe on the Lord with all of our heart when we come to Christ, believe on the Lord. It is that decision maker that says, I need Jesus. He died for the cross, and I want Jesus, and I come to Jesus, and I submit myself to Jesus. I will obey the Lord Jesus. I need him as my Savior. It is that decision maker drawing near to God as we are. It helps us to make that profession of faith, to draw near unto God. For that to happen in our life. So it's an act of the heart. But it's not just an act of the heart. He says, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts then, having our decision maker sprinkled from an evil conscience. Because it's not just our heart that needs to draw near to God, but our mind. And the conscience is part of the mind that accuses us of guilt and oppresses because of sin. God gave us a conscience. Our conscience, then, is that part of our mind that accuses us of guilt and oppresses us because of sin. And so we must draw near to God, not just with our heart, but with our mind. And realizing that our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, that we need to draw with our full heart and mind and conscience before the Lord. It's an act of the mind that draws close to God also. And then our bodies are involved, and our bodies washed with pure water. That is, that we would have a pure body, that we would keep ourselves pure and clean and right. So the scripture here is talking about, let us draw near with a full heart in full assurance of faith, holding fast with our heart, our decision maker, holding fast with our mind focused on the Lord, holding fast with our body that is directed in the Lord. And the scripture here talks about us to do this without wavering, but that we would be focused with the Lord. Notice Hebrews 10:23, as it says, let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering means without bending under pressure. It is that we would remember the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, the Jews, these new believers, they were under tremendous pressure. Pressure from their family, pressure from their government, pressure from finances. In every way, they were under great pressure. So the writer to Hebrews is now saying that let us hold fast the profession of our faith or the assurance of our faith without wavering. Don't bend under pressure. Are you under pressure? Are you facing some things that are hard for you to deal with and feeling like there is pressure upon you, upon your conviction, your spirituality, your relationship with God? Well, the believers were here. Hold fast to your profession. There's a supposition that there is great difficulty in the life of these believers. And therefore, it required that heart and that mind and that body that was committed to the Lord to hold fast. This is work, spiritual work. This is something that you have to labor at to do. It takes great strength to do it. It takes commitment. It takes focus on the Lord. It takes that reality of remembering that it's going to take constant perseverance, because there's pressure to bend you. There's pressure to break you. There's pressure from the enemy to lay traps to dissuade you from going on with God. The believers, these Hebrew believers, face those very same things. That's why 19 times in the scripture, God urges his people, hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. Because we live in that day. And it's necessary that we are motivated biblically and properly to be steadfast, not to bend under pressure, but to stand with our mind focused on Jesus, with our heart, our decision maker that is committed. No, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to bend. I'm going to stand for Christ until the trumpet sounds. I'm going to keep my body under. I'm going to walk biblically, obediently, faithfully unto God until he comes. Hold fast, because we live in that evil day, and it's necessary. So this passage gives us this third item in holding fast to our profession, and he says, for he is faithful, and that promised. It is that we recognize he is that faithful one, and we can count on him when the pressure's on. And another one of the things that we are to do is to consider one another, to provoke and to love and to good works. This word provoke, we often use it in modern English as somebody provokes me. That is, they irritate me. They agitate me. That's not what this verb is talking about. It's let us consider one another to provoke. It's talking about let us consider one another to stimulate each other for love and good works. It is the positive side of holding fast. It is that we are to try to stimulate each other for love. This is talking about agape love. This is talking about sacrificial love. The kind of love that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's that sacrificial love that God is telling us. One of the ways that helps us to hold fast. Are you still with me? To hold fast is to stimulate each other to sacrificial love for God and for the truth. It's one of the things that the local church does for each other, is that we meet here together to pray, to sing, to fellowship, to rejoice, to talk to each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, so that we will stimulate each other to sacrificial love. It's one of the things that the early church did. In the teen class today, we talked about Barnabas and the early church in Acts chapter 4, how that there were some poorer Christians that were in the church, and that the rest of the wealthier ones sold some things, property and different things, and they gave that money to the church, which then distributed it to these believers and motivated them by that sacrificial love that God had for them. It's one of the things that we can do that helps us to hold fast, is that kind of sacrificial love for the brethren and to serve and to honor the Lord. And he says that we are to consider one another to stimulate unto love and to good works. Talking about good deeds to each other, to help each other. It is that which, that consideration helps us to hold fast, because we are positively doing something for God and we're willing to do it irrespective of ourselves, for him, for his glory, to motivate, encourage his people, and to do those things that will be a blessing and a help to them. It is that very necessary things that we are doing for God. So what are the means to holding fast in these last days? The Bible says that we are to hold fast to what is good. Are you holding fast to what's good? Or are there some things that you're really clinging to and really holding on to that are not good, that need to be let go of? I had a lady in my church in Vermont, a sweet lady. Her dad was a deacon, and she was raised in a Christian home. And she got hold of this principle, and she gave a testimony one time to the church family. And she wept when she gave it. She said, "My best friend in high school and I were best friends, and we went everywhere, we did everything." And she said, but our lives went like this. She said she was not a believer. And she said, "I got saved, and I'm committed to live for God, for Christ." And she said, "Our lives went like this." She said, "But I tried to cling to my friend because I still loved my friend, and I wanted her to come this way. I wanted her to trust Jesus." But she said, "She doesn't want Jesus. She doesn't want the things of God." And she said, "She's gone the other way." And she said, "Just last week, I met with her to have coffee at a coffee shop. And she said she was talking about the sordid, evil, wicked things that were going on in her life. And she said, I knew we were going two opposite directions, and I cannot be friends with her. She can't be my best friend. I can pray for her, and I can seek her soul, and I can seek to reach her for the Lord." But she said, "I had to let go." And she said, "I had to let go of her as my best friend." And she said, "It hurts." And Scripture says, hold fast what is good. That necessarily means let go of what's bad. We can't hold fast to the Lord in the things of the Lord when we are holding on to those things that are not. We are, the scriptures that we read also were talking about hold fast to your confidence. We do that by rejoicing in the Lord. So who is the writer of Hebrews writing to? He's writing to Jewish Hebrew believers that are under huge persecution, that are under great pressure. And he's talking to them about rejoicing. You see, we got this idea that rejoicing is that thing which we do when everything's going great. And when we just got a $5,000 rebate from our taxes that we didn't expect we were going to get, and we say, wow, what a blessing! And it's easy to rejoice then. That's not the rejoicing he was writing about. He was talking about rejoicing when you're under pressure. Rejoicing when it's not going so good. Rejoicing when things are tough. And when you're afraid. And when you're scared of what's going on. That's when rejoicing helps you to hold fast. That kind of rejoicing is the kind that gives you grit in your soul. And it gives you confidence in your God. And it gives you intimacy in His presence. It is that which God would seek for us to hold fast. And then the scripture says that we are to hold fast your profession of faith. Hold fast in that confidence. Yes, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that decision that I made for the Savior, and I followed him in baptism, and I am his, and he is mine, knowing that that is real, and knowing that is for you. Let me close with this little story. It's not my story, so I want to make sure that I get it right. The pastor tells of a woman who came to him after a service, and she said this, and I'm quoting, "My husband was a fine Christian, but a difficulty arose in our church, and the blame was unjustly placed on him. It broke his heart, and he died within 2 years. Then my son became ill, and soon he too was in his grave. I was forced to take in washings to keep my two girls in school. The oldest entered Christian work and brought me great joy until recently, when she fell into a terrible sin. Now I've been informed that my other daughter has an incurable disease. I'm still trusting God and holding fast to his goodness, but my heart is crushed. So I came to see you, Pastor, hoping for some encouragement." The man of God stood silent in the presence of the woman's overwhelming grief. And then he said this, and I'm quoting, "Sister, the way you are holding fast to the promises of God in your many trials has restored my courage. I shall speak of the comfort of Christ with renewed zeal and preach a stronger gospel because of you. I may not be able to console you, but you have helped me." The woman's sorrow found relief in tears as she exclaimed, quote, "You've said just what I needed to hear, Pastor. I shall go home and continue to fight the good fight of faith. If I've helped you to help others, I'm already richly blessed by my trials and am confident to wait for the special smile of approval the Lord has promised to those who praise him in times of testing." Here's a woman that is holding fast. Trials trying to bend her, trying to break her, trying to cause her to be disillusioned and discouraged because of the loss of her husband, the loss of her son, or her daughter who was caught up in sin, and now for this other daughter with an incurable disease. That's a lot of pressure. Hold fast. Hold fast, sister. hold fast to the things of God in what you are facing. Hold fast, brother, when it's tough and when you're going through some things that you don't know if you'll be able to take it all. Hold fast. Look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Him. He will never fail you. He will never desert you. He will never leave you. He will always be there to carry you through the fire, to walk you through the river, to keep you from the difficulties. He will see you through. Hold fast. Keep your heart focused on Him. Keep your mind concentrated upon the Lord Jesus. Keep your body in obedience and following Him every step of the way. Jesus never fails. He is that one. Your job? Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. No matter what comes, hold fast for your Lord and God. Father God, I pray for your people. I pray for someone today, oh God, who is discouraged. Somebody, oh God, who is wrestling with the stresses and the pressures with which they are bearing. Help them, O God, to hold fast. O Spirit of the living God, teach us those lessons of holding fast. Help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. Help us, O God, to be steadfast in these last days. But God, to do so by focusing upon you in every way for your will, for your glory. Father, heads are bowed. Just between you and God. Do you need to do business with Him? Right where you are. Nobody else needs to know. This is between you and God. You need to let go. You need to recommit. You need to focus and say, oh Lord, I've been doubting, I've been fearing, I've been fretful. I want to hold fast. This is the time. Right here. Right now. Privately. Just you and God. Settle it with Him. Hold fast. Oh God. You have seen and you hear the heartfelt prayer of your people. For those, oh God, that are facing some incredible stress, difficulties, hard things with which to labor through. Help them, oh God, and this message for them today. Hold fast, oh God, would be just what the Lord ordered for them right now. Dear God, I do not know what your people in here have no idea, but I'm glad, oh Lord, that you do. You are the one, oh God, that promises always be there, that God, you would be glorified through it all. Oh Lord, we commit and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, Logan, let's have a song. Will you stand with me and let's sing?
Number 417, All for Jesus, All for Jesus, all my being's ransom pounds, all my thoughts and words and doing, all my days and all my hours will hold fast to Jesus. 417.
Visitation of your presence to be with us this day. At the very beginning, O God, I pled that you would be here, that you would minister to us. Oh, how I thank you. I thank you, dear God, for your presence and for the work of the Spirit for our special needs. And you know all of them, our God. Lord, I thank you for these precious moments together. And I ask that this week we may be reminded again by your Spirit to hold fast, and having done all, to stand fast. I pray your blessing now upon this food as we go to the fellowship room and the fellowship time. May it be a time, O God, where we indeed stimulate each other to love and good works. And may all of these things, Lord, bring praise unto you. Oh, thank you, dear God. We ask it and pray it to your glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good day. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.